Amen. I think I left my paper. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I'll tell you. It's amazing to be in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just bow our heads just for a couple more minutes here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I just want to be obedient. I feel like when we were in that moment of quiet, of the Lord was giving me something, but sometimes you're like, is it me? Is it him? But it just keeps coming back to me. So if we just be quiet just for a couple more seconds here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I felt like the Lord was saying, my children, in the days and weeks to come, you are going to fix your eyes on me. Things around you might change. Things around you might move. But me, I will always be the same. You can put your trust in me, and I will never fail. Never. Don't fear the future. Don't be afraid of the things to come. But trust and look to me. I will lead you. I will guide you. And at times, I will even carry you. Keep your focus on me. Don't worry, children. Don't worry about the things you see and you hear. Don't worry. As your Father, I will take care of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Picture I was seeing when we were worshiping was this massive storm all around, and yet he was walking over us, and everything is going crazy around us, but not us. We're protected under him as we walk forward with him. He is a good God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Whew. As we move on in our journey with Jesus, we're in Luke 19 today, if you have your Bibles and want to turn there. Luke 19, 11. Most of you might be saying, wait a minute, weren't we here last week? And we were, when we were talking about Zacchaeus. And right on the heels of what Jesus was saying about salvation coming after Zacchaeus made a decision to give his finances away and to give back from to those he has stolen, we come to this passage of Scripture, Luke 19 and verse 11. And I'll read it to you, and it says, now as they heard these things, who was listening to Jesus, first of all, do you remember? Who else was there? We know the disciples were there. We know Zacchaeus was there. But remember, the religious leaders of the day were also there. And now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas or minus, and said to them, do business until I come. But his servants hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then they came, the first saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, I have given you authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you will be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, here is your mina, with which I have kept it put away in a handkerchief. Because I feared you, for you are an astute an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put it in the bank so that I would have interest at my coming? And he said to those to whom stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. I love when you study out the context of what Jesus is teaching, because you learn more. And it says that he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem. And so when I was researching this, I came upon a story about what was going on in Jerusalem around this time frame. Herod the Great and his son Archelaus had journeyed to Rome to receive the kingdom of Judah from Caesar. Now, Archelaus was the one who was supposed to be king over that area, but the Jewish people sent a committee to Caesar and said, we do not want him to rule over us. What was Jesus doing? He was taking a modern-day event that they knew very well what was going on, what had happened with Archelaus. Jesus took a circumstances they could all identify with. Now, was his parable about Archelaus? No, his parable was about himself, right? His parable was about himself. And he says that he was going to go away and return. Amen? We're excited for his return. But what does he do before he leaves? It says he took 10 servants. Now, there's a distinction here. There are servants and there are citizens. Servants are going to be closer to the master because they're serving him versus a citizen who just happens to live in that area. Okay, so he takes 10. The man that was doing the research said, this is an awesome number because it doesn't mean he was speaking to the 12 disciples. He's opened this up to everybody. His parable is now to everyone, not just to his disciples. And he says, to each of the 10 men, he gave a minas. And what is that? That is 4 months' worth of wages. 4 months' worth of wages. A lot of consonants in there. And he takes it and he gives it to each man. He only tells us about what happens to 3 of them, but we see that the citizens, at the same time that he leaves, what happens to them? They get upset and they send a delegation saying, we don't want you to be our king. What did they say to Jesus? A few chapters later, what did they shout? Crucify. This is not our king. We don't want this man. A distinction between those who were close to him and those who were on the outside, okay? And he gives to each one 4 months' worth of wages. And then he goes away and he returns. And he calls the 10 servants in. We hear the story of 3, but it's powerful what we hear. He gave to each person the exact same amount, right? He didn't give to one. There's a different story in the Bible where it talks about he gave to one 10, he gave to one 5, or the different denominations. But this one, everyone got the same thing. And the first one comes and he says, I have taken it and I have times it by 10. So he brought back 40 months worth of wages to the master. And the other one comes up and he says, I took what you gave me and I made 20 with the 4 you gave me, right? So there was an increase. The commentator in this part says it doesn't necessarily mean that one man worked harder, but just the way that things happen in life, this is what he gave, but he still earned something. And we see both men are rewarded. They were given 4 months' worth of wages, but what was their reward? A city. They ruled a city. From 4 months' worth of wages, they ruled a city. And so we see that the reward is way bigger than what they actually did, right? And so then they come to the third man. And listen to what he says. Let's read his description first here. It says in verse 21, For I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And this bothered me. I was like, how can this man have had such a different view of the master, where the other two, knowing the master, produced them to want to be faithful with what was given them? And all of a sudden it hit me. How many times can you have servants in the same house or people in the same house, and one of them doesn't see something the way that everybody else does? I was thinking about this, about the people who come to church that I've known over the years. Some of them have been in church for years and years and years. And yet, when you talk to them about finances, what is their talk? God just wants my money. That's all he wants. How can that same person be in the same service where someone right next to him says, no, he's not trying to take from me, he's trying to get to me? It's all about the relationship that they had. The first two examples were relationship that saw the master, yes, as having rules and regulations, and he asked them for certain things, but they knew that he was a just master, that if he was asking something of them, he would also be someone who would bless them, right? And yet this other man sees him as someone who's just a taker. He just wants my money. So I did the best thing I could think of. I put in a little handkerchief, and I put it away, and we all laugh. Store it up in a little handkerchief until the master got back. How silly is that, right? But how silly is it for those who don't tithe? They're just taking their finances and putting them in a little handkerchief. And does the master say, I'm giving you what you deserve because of who I am? No, he says, I'm giving you what you deserve because of who you say I am. Wow. So I was going through all this and doing all this studying, and the commentator brings out that in this passage of scripture, the thing that everybody got that was the same was the gospel. And that was awesome. I was super excited about it. But I feel like, Lord, this is about tithes and offerings. And all of a sudden, it hit me like a lightning bolt. We all have the same thing that's asked of us from the master, our 10%. Everyone's on the same playing field. You may say, well, my 10% is not as big as so-and-so's 10. It doesn't matter. It's still the same for you as it is for them, because as your finances grow, your tithe grows, right? So if you're not going to be faithful when you get $10 to give him your $1, then you're not going to be faithful when you get your $100 to give him your $10, and you're not going to be faithful when you get your $1,000 to give him his $100, and you're surely not going to be thankful when he gives you your million and you have to give your $100,000. Wow. And yet what happens when the two servants are faithful with what the Lord has given them? What happens? They are rewarded. They are rewarded, not just a little bit. He just doesn't say, pat him back, say, okay, that's great, good job. He says, no, rule over this. We just went from taking care of money to ruling cities. How did that happen? Because the Lord saw the attitude of their hearts. They were faithful servants. He knew, yeah, it might be a big transition to go from managing their household to running a city, but they were going to be able to do it because they had been resourceful enough to take the 1 minute they had been given and come back with more. He knew that they were capable. I don't know about you, but for me today, I want the Lord to return and say, you are capable. I don't want to be the other servant and have him say, as you have said about me, so it's going to be in your life. I would venture to say that the servant who hid it didn't really know his master. Just like I would venture to say the people that say that God, all God wants is your money, don't really know our Lord. If they really knew him, if they really knew his heart, if they really knew how much he loved them. And this week in our prayer and praise, I encouraged everyone to look up verses this week about God's love for you. Don't just cast that aside, Because if you understand how much God loves you, then when it comes to your money, you're not going to freak out. You're not going to freak out because you're going to know that your God loves you and he'll take care of you. You're his kid. He wants to provide for you. Amen? But we have a responsibility too, just like these 10 men did. The Lord has given us a responsibility. We're all on the same playing field. 10%. If you want to give offerings besides, that's great, but we're all on the same playing field. 10%. Are you being faithful with your 10%? And if you can say yes, we're going to hear this. Well done, my servants. Now I've got a job for you. And I don't feel like it's going to be little jobs. I feel like, just like his example, that we're going to be in places that we're like, how in the world did I ever get here? Right? In my own life, I can attest that when the kids were younger, I was on our booster club at the school. And I went from helping out to, you know, volunteering to then I became the treasurer, which I was like, what? Help, right? To the president. I didn't know anything about running a booster group. But when you're faithful in the little, the Lord provides for you and shows you. And that wasn't the end for me. It wasn't just being the booster president. The Lord was training me up. I had to learn all about nonprofits because we had to become a nonprofit. So I read up all this knowledge and all this information when Steve came home and said, I think we're going to start a church. Everything that I needed to know, because I had been faithful with the little over here, I knew how to do this because I'd already done it over here. Different scenarios, different rules and regulations, but I knew where to get my information. I knew the steps to take, and it wasn't scary anymore. So when you're giving your tithes and offerings, don't be scared or nervous when the Lord puts you in a position. You go, whoa, I don't know if I can do this. Yes, you can. He will give you the wisdom that you need because you are faithful with little. You'll be faithful with much. Amen? Aren't you so glad for all of these different things that Jesus is teaching us? It's amazing. It's an exciting adventure, but I definitely want to be on the side where it's well done instead of getting what I've said that the Lord is. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings today. Father, I just thank you so much for this word today, and I pray, Lord, that you would be help us to be faithful with what you have given us, Father. You give us all the same opportunity, 10%. Help us to be faithful in the 10%, Father, so that when you come back, you will tell us, well done, and that the rewards are going to be so much greater than anything we could have ever imagined when we get home to be with you. But also, Father, I believe you do that in the here and now. You put us into places and with responsibility of things we're like, whoa, really, Lord? But he's not impressed with all the wisdom of men. He's impressed with the attitudes of our hearts. And today, Lord, we just ask, let our hearts be faithful to you and to what you've given us, Father. That we can say, look, Lord, we took that what you told us to give, and look, it multiplied and multiplied, and we were able to give more and more and more, and we still have more to give. We just praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness today. Bless every seed that's sown, and bless the sower. Multiply back to them so they can continue to give to every good work. In Jesus' name, amen.
We record these messages so you can listen to them later. Amen. On the web. Or people that aren't in this region can hear us. Amen. It's so wonderful with technology, you know. We can go global and get the word around the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for being so wonderful. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen, 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 amen. Well, I want to welcome you to our series entitled Outward Signs of an Inward Work. Praise God. I am so excited about this. And really, the first couple of messages we did this year about why church could be right in this category as well. Amen. How many of you think church is a good outward sign that God is doing something on the inside of you? Amen. And this year is the theme for our year is fellowshipping with Jesus. And Shelley touched on a lot of that about relationship and just building our relationship with the Lord. And I was really stirred to teach on outward signs of an inward work. Now, if you turn on the television or, you know, I watched the Super Bowl last week, great game, but there was a lot of commercials and stuff I just turned off. Not a lot. There was a lot of good ones, but you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of folks out there that are into drinking, right? Gambling, sexual perversions of any kind, right? Weed, all that kind of stuff. How many know that's also an outward sign of an inward work? Amen? And those kind of things ought not be flowing out of the life of a believer. Amen? And there are believers who think, well, what does it matter? It's all the grace of God. Great. No. If you're fellowshipping with Jesus, you want to do things that make him happy. And stuff that the world puts out there, a lot of it does not please the Lord. Amen? So in the church world, right, we need to be preaching the gospel. That it's the idea of this whole thing is that I'm becoming more like him. Amen? And there's certain things we can do and certain things we should be looking for. And as I'm studying these things, and a lot of these are probably just going to be single messages on a topic, right? And it might be 8, 10, 12, 15, I don't know yet. We'll just see how far the Lord takes. One might have two parts, I don't know. We'll follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. But we're going to be touching on a lot of key things that are outward signs of an inward work that you are born again, that you belong to Jesus. Amen? So the first sign, I guess you could say, is get saved. Amen? If you're not saved, get saved. I know everyone in this room is born again. You've received Jesus as Lord of your life. That's an outward sign of an inward work, right? The Holy Spirit convicted you that there's some things in your life you need to get right. And you came to Jesus and said, Lord, I receive you as Lord of my life. I receive what you did on the cross on my behalf. I'm born again. Hallelujah. Praise God. But somebody say, you don't have to stop there, right? Now, that's the main thing. If you had to pick one, that's the main thing. Get saved. Somebody say, get saved. And then it's about our relationship with the Lord. So many people get born again and then just stop there, right? They're not in church. They'll come to a funeral. They'll come to a wedding. They'll come on Easter maybe, right? Christmas. Or never. Yeah, or never. They'll catch something on Christian television or, you know, bless a meal or whatever. They're saved, but they're not growing. Amen? And they're dealing with a lot of stuff that the world and the devil is putting on them, and they don't, it's whatever, you know. But the key thing is, if they were to die, they'll go to heaven, right? Why? Because they're saved. I've done numerous funerals for people that never darkened the door of a church, but I know they were saved. They're in heaven with God. They're with Jesus. Praise the Lord for that, right? But if you want to go deeper, the Bible talks about deep calling to deep. If you're interested in growing deeper with Jesus, there are deeper places to go with him. Amen? And I want to use as our foundation text, Deuteronomy 6. You can turn there or click there or listen in or whatever, all right? But Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 5 or 6 or so. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged, Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, verse 4, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Somebody say, I love the Lord with all my heart, right? With all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now see, a lot of this stuff people would say, that's Old Testament. But there is a spiritual, eternal truth to these things, right? Somebody say, my relationship with God is an everyday thing. Amen? It's not just about Sunday. It's not just about Easter. It's not just about when I feel like it. It's not just about when everything is going great. It's not just about when I need something. You ever had an acquaintance like that in your life that you text them, you call them, you reach out to them occasionally, and they never respond to you except when they need something? And then they call you because they need help moving or they need some money. Or something terrible is happening in their life. You know what I'm saying? And we love them. We you know, minister to their needs and so forth. But don't you know there's a deeper place to go with Jesus than that? Amen. It's called being his son or his daughter. And in these days and weeks to come, we want to focus on several outward signs of an inward work. The inward work of the Holy Spirit. And honestly, as I was thinking about this, the outward signs that things that will come out of you and so forth, to me, in regards to my own life as an example, it's there, really, it encourages me. It's not so much to show the world that I'm a Christian. Right? It's encouraging to me. Like the other day, I share with my kids, I'm on the freeway for 2 hours. Getting to work, to a job. 2 hours to get to Tualatin that day. No reason why, no wrecks, no, it's just a lot of people out there. Well, I cut off because nature was calling. I had to use the restroom. I drink coffee in the morning, okay? And I'm on a side road, and it's a 2-lane side road, and we're about to merge, and we're all in the same drill. And this bro is kind of in my blind spot, and he's not speeding up, and he's not slowing down, and I need to merge. So instead of stopping so he can pass me, I just sped up and got in front of him. Well, to him, that was the cardinal sin. I mean, laid on the horn. I mean, not just a short little, I mean, it was a prolonged horn blast. And I just kind of shook it off. Well, sorry, bro. I've been listening to preaching all morning, had 2 hours. You need to listen to sports. Or news, rock and roll, or preaching. Well, thank the Lord that morning I was fellowshipping with Jesus, right? So I was like, whatever. I'm just trying to get the job, my work like you are, bro, you know? Well, probably 5 minutes down the road, we're still in this traffic. Well, that right lane opens up again, and he cuts around me, blaring his horn, and showing me the number one sign. Right? Still mad. Still fuming. Because I would dare get in front of him, all right? And I'll tell you what. Testimony. Honestly, the love of God for this guy. Because I've been listening to preaching. In fact, at that moment, I was listening to myself. I was listening to our service from last week. And he's looking at me in his rearview mirror. And I looked at him, and I lifted up this finger. And I went, Jesus! Jesus is Lord! Jesus loves you, and I was going, I love you, pointing at my eye, I love you, Jesus is Lord, and he's wagging that finger out the window, and the finger slowly went away, and it just kind of went to, well, this little hand, well, I believe the Lord ministered to that man that morning. Right? Well, it encouraged me to know, and I checked myself. I blew him a kiss. Mwah. And I'm signaling, come on in. It's okay. Come on. I'll let you in. But it encouraged me to know, wow, that's what came out of me. That was a sign to myself that, oh, hey, I must be hanging with Jesus today. Because you know what? In the flesh, I mean, we were stopped. Right? I could have opened my door, walked up to his car. Yo, want to step outside? How cool would that have been? That's fleshy, right? That's an outward sign also of an inward work. Amen? But when Jesus, I've heard Jerry Seville say it this way, I'm like the Pillsbury Doughboy. You poke me, faith is going to come out. Amen? So praise God for outward signs of a good inward work that God is doing on the inside of us. But had I had been fellowshipping with sports that morning or listening to political radio or classic rock and that happened, it's going to be a fight or something. Or, you know, I'll use two fingers then, you know. Come on, right? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for outward signs of a good inward work. Amen? Praise the Lord. But our foundation text here, it's all about this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all. Somebody say with all, right? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the heart really refers to your spirit, man. Don't you know you're a triune being just like God is, right? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Amen? It's like when I do funerals, there's a body laying there, but Elvis has left the building. You know what I'm saying? Now that body will be raised again. Amen. Incorruptible if you're born again. Praise the Lord. But when it says love the Lord with all your heart, that's your spirit. So that tells me, and it's not a coincidence, the order this is in. If you love the Lord your God with your spirit, then your soul and your body will learn to fall in line. But see, the world gets it all backwards. What do you feel like doing? What gender do you feel like? We'll invent one if you're not happy with whatever you are, right? How do you feel? Just go by how you feel. No. If you're a believer, you go by what the Word says, not by what Washington says or what school says or what Hollywood says or what your favorite athlete says. Amen? You go by what the Word says. Somebody say spirit, soul, and body, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions, and in all your strength. That symbolizes your body. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we follow God with all our hearts. But today, I want the outward sign of an inward work that we want to focus on is honor. Amen? People that are born again, that are fellowshipping with God, they honor Him. We honor the Lord. We're people of honor, honoring God. And I'm not just talking again about on Sunday, right? Well, I'll honor God on Sunday. Well, no. You can honor God 24/7 by the power of the Holy Ghost, and your will is involved there. Amen. And that word honor is defined, this is a dictionary.com definition, high respect. As far as worth, as for worth, merit, or rank. High respect as for worth, merit, or rank. Somebody say, he's number one. He comes before anyone or anything else. I remember as a single guy, and even sometimes today I still hear it, where especially, I've heard a lot of young ladies say this who are believing God for a husband. Lord, send me a husband that loves you even more than I do. And it sounds cute, but what they should really be saying is, Lord, send me a husband that loves you more than he loves me. You see the difference? Because you can get into comparing that, right? Amen. Somebody say, he's number one. He's number one. In my life, he comes before Shelley. He comes before Lane and Lacey and Lindsay and Luke. Amen. And that doesn't mean I'm skipping stuff so I can have a ministry trip or something like that. You know, it just means he comes first. He comes first. I put him first. I put his word first. I follow his plan and leading and guidance for my life as he's called me to do it according to his word. And everything else just kind of comes into place. Amen. It's an honor thing. We give him honor by respecting him higher than anything or anyone else. Amen. He's worth more than anything or anyone else. If he tells me to sell the house is going to be sold. If he tells me to you know, move on to a different ministry or take a different job, or, you know what I'm saying? He is first. High respect as for worth, merit, or rank. He's my commanding officer. There's been a number of people over the years, not a ton, but some that I respect and admire, that have challenged us on how we pastor and what we preach. And had a dear brother once take me to coffee. Pastor, can I just buy you a coffee? Yeah. And as I'm walking into the coffee shop, the Lord said, you'll want to have your alligator skin on for this one. Okay, sir. Yes, sir. All right. So he's buying me a coffee. And, you know, I love this about the church and I love that about the church. But you know what I don't like? I don't like how you're preaching prosperity and healing and you're dictating to God what God should do. It's like, brother, I'm not dictating anything to God. We're dictating to cancer. We're dictating to poverty. We're telling the devil to get out. And we're welcoming the blessings of God. We're believing God. Yeah, but God should decide all that. You know what I'm saying? What if I, as a pastor, bent every time somebody comes to me saying, I'm going to leave your church if you don't fill in the blank? That's called a hireling. Right? That's called a people pleaser. Amen? So, we honor God first. I say, you know what, brother? I love you, but this is what I have to preach. It's not that I want to. I do want to. I love it. But these are the things God is giving me to preach. This is the direction I'm going in because God has called me to do this. Amen. And you, what do? You just keep going. You just keep doing. You just keep believing. You just keep trusting. Why? Because he's number one. He's my commanding officer. How in a household, for example, where the wife or the husband is passionate about God, but the other one isn't, right? You don't get into browbeating them and guilt-tripping them and condemning them and pointing out all. No, you just keep loving him. You just keep loving him. You have your time with Jesus. They see it. And you love them, but you love him first. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is right there with you. He's right there with you. And in many cases, there is peace in a household, right? Despite the differences there, because there's a love for Jesus. In other cases, one decides, this ain't for me, right? Well, you love him first. Amen? This is good to know. What is it? It's something, it's an outward sign of an inward work. It's this thing called honor. Honoring the Lord. And I picked this picture online because it's a jogger and they're running through the desert. And the way they're tearing up the sand right there, they're not tired. They're not quitting. Everything around them looks dead. But they are flat tearing up the sand. They got their running gear on. And don't you know, that's what living in this world for Jesus is like. It's going to look like, how are you doing that? That's impossible. How are you pointing to Jesus when someone's flipping you off on the road? And loving them. It's tearing up the desert. That's what an outward sign of an inward. You are tearing up the things that this world is talking about with a love for God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And, you know, it comes out in the voting booth. Honoring God comes out in the voting booth. I have to love God more than my union. I've got to love God more than how grandpa voted. Right? Right? We see what the Word of God says about gender issues and marriage issues and drug issues and, you know what I'm saying? And we take it to the voting booth. And what are we doing? We're honoring God first. Doesn't mean I hate those people that are promoting all that other stuff. Not at all. I can still honor them, right? How do I honor them? How about not bashing them, not hating on them, right? Not calling them names. Amen? How about praying for them? Praying for them. In both political parties, right? And then you take the word with you in your heart to the voting booth, and you honor God first. Yeah, but if this person gets in office, it might affect my retirement. Well, guess what? There's an eternal retirement coming that's even better than this one. Amen. So we honor God. We're honoring the truth of God's word. Praise the Lord. Psalm 66:2 says this, sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So in that sense, it's, you know, every time you tithe, every time you give an offering, you're honoring God with your substance. Coming to church, you're honoring God. Walking in obedience to the Lord, you're honoring him. It's a life of honor. Amen. Praying for your leaders, you're honoring God. Not losing your temper with that person at work, you're honoring God. Walking in love toward one another and toward your family, what are you doing? Honoring God. Spending time in prayer and in the Word, what are you doing? Honoring God. I've been in a season of fasting. What's fasting? An outward sign of an inward work. Amen. And the Lord shows you how to do that. Amen. What are you doing? You're honoring God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that, in that term, the word honor means weight, heavy, to be rich, to promote. So you're saying, Lord, what you think and what you say is weightier and heavier to me than that Starbucks mocha today. Than the 10% that I could keep of my salary, right? Than how I'm feeling today, than that anger and resentment that I feel on the inside of me. No, I'm choosing to forgive. Forgiveness is another thing. What are you doing when you forgive? Honoring God. Outward sign of an inward work. Amen? So we choose to do it, and it goes diabolically opposite to the way the world says to live. So it is a sign to the world. It is a sign to the other people at the office. It is a sign to people in our families and communities. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what he says means more. It's heavier. It's weightier than anything else in my life. Amen? And that word, be rich. If a super rich guy was here speaking, giving us a financial, business, everybody would be on the edge of their seats taking notes. Why? Because he's rich. Well, God, nobody's richer than God. So we need to treat what he says with high value, even if it seems opposite to the way of the world, to how I feel today, to what's going on in my life. I need to treat what he says as high value, highest value, highest honor. Amen? And I need to promote what he's doing. Promote what he's doing. Be about lifting him up and exalting him. Be a promoter of serving God. When you're living for him, even if you're not out preaching sermons, your life is a promotion of what God is, who God is, living for the Lord. Amen? What is that? It's honor. You're honoring him with your life. Proverbs 5:9 says this, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. This whole chapter deals with sin, right? Living a life of disobedience, out of the will of God, a life that's hungry for other things besides God, is giving my honor to others and my years to the cruel one. Now, there's people that are born again that are in this boat, right? They're not living for the Lord, but they're saved. And so what's happening? They're giving their days, they're giving their years to the cruel one. And that will affect their eternal reward. Amen? And their joy level and their peace level in this life. Amen? Somebody say, I honor God. And this word means grandeur, lofty, elevated in treatment, exalted in a deliberate way. See, as people who honor the Lord, we deliberately choose to honor God. And there's people by the thousands, believers I'm talking about, that don't think that their will plays much at all involved in honoring God or not, right? Well, this is just who I am. My choices today make no impact on the world. Or, you know, it's like they just defer everything to the Lord, right? Well, no, he's giving me a free will, a choice today. I can honor him or I can honor the devil. I can honor the Lord or I can honor the world. This is why we have people like, again, back to the politics example, who promote ungodly values and yet are born again, because they don't see the connection between living a life of honor to God and what they would say, well, this is just my job, though. Right? And we need to honor these people over here that are living like this. No, no, no. You need to honor God first. Honor God first. Amen? Grandeur, lofty, elevated in treatment, exalted in a deliberate way, beauty, excellency. Amen? There's no one more beautiful, no one more excellent than our God. Amen? And we live lives to honor him. And then finally, 1 Peter 2:17 says this, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And I'll tell you what, man, before we even look at this verse, this next verse, there is an issue today with honoring our leaders. Leaders, I'm talking about, dishonoring other leaders. That's a sign, that's an outward sign of a not so good inward work, right? Just trash and filth coming out of their mouths and, you know, making stuff up, all about prestige and power. And all, and our president even said this week, I heard a comment from him that, you know, and he's a relatively new, like, born again believer, but he's legit. He is legit. Okay? He's saved. He's born again. And it's wonderful to hear some stuff come out of his heart, and it's like, man, there's some people that are born again for years and don't get that. he said at some of this extent, I don't like it when people use their faith to promote evil things. Yeah. What is that? An outward sign of an inward work. You say you believe God, but yet you're doing this over here. He says, that doesn't fly with me. Praise God for leaders like this. Amen? Hallelujah. John 5:22-23, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And that word honor in this sense means to prize, to revere, to value. Amen? And I would say this. We need to be prizing, revering, and valuing people that are out there in public that do promote godly values. and not put our heads in the sand like an ostrich and get all goofy about it, right? Be praising God for them. Be prizing them. Be lifting them up and revering them and praying for them. Amen? And so another thing our president said this week, he said, you know, I meet these people and they say, I'm praying for you. He has, but I know they're not. He was speaking at a prayer breakfast, right? I appreciate him, right? And others like him. Amen. But what are we doing? We're prizing God's word and the values of God's word, revering it, valuing it, prizing it above anything else, or anyone else in this world. And it, again, this ain't just about Sunday morning. This ain't just about Easter weekend, right? This ain't just about when I need him, fire insurance, right? There's a deeper place to go with God, amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up on our feet. We're going to pray and just thank the Lord for his word today. Just lift your hands and thank him today for his spirit. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. And we choose, Lord God, to be a church that honors you, a people who honor you first. Hallelujah. We exalt you highly above any other person on this planet, above our personal desires and needs and interests. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I as we're praying, another thing I'm reminded of, I heard a Christian radio broadcaster this week talk about a medical condition that they have and talked about it in terms of, you know, like they just needed to embrace it. Like it was just something. He said, now every time I meet somebody that has this medical condition, I give them a high five and say, welcome to the club. You know, it's like there's no honor to, by his stripes I was healed. And he talked about he would read things online and study about, yep, that's me. Yep, that's me. I see myself there. And honoring God means we look to his word. I'm not coming down on this person, but I'm recognizing and using it as a teaching opportunity. Amen. Coming to God in his word and finding yourself in his word. Not finding yourself in the diagnosis of whatever the doctor said. Honoring God doesn't say, Lord, I thank you that I have this disease and you've given it to me to teach me something. Nonsense. Somebody say nonsense. I thank you, Lord, that even though the facts are, this is what the doctor said, and these are the symptoms I'm experiencing, but your word says, by your stripes I am healed. And that means am. So I say with my mouth, and I believe with my heart, I am healed. And then you don't go around talking to everybody about it. Don't go around talking to everybody about the problem. You promote the word. We're people of your word, Lord. People of your word. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, just pray this after me. Say, Father God, I honor you today. I will live a life of honor towards you every hour of every day. Help me, Father, to honor you, to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed and the coffee is on. Amen.